This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jimmy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest. Woman makes the world go round. Yeah, woman makes the world go around. Though they'll tell you that it's money. Yeah, but money makes a meaningless sound.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Coming to you from beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. From Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. Did you know you can record at Trinidad now? We have the Pro Tools HD room in the back, the A room, Phil's little log cabin studio here, the B room. You name it, we got something to fit everyone. Every budget. Phil at philpritchett.com. Email me. We'll tell you what it takes to come in. Well, folks, you have been out there, haven't you? Searching through the record racks, sifting through iTunes and MySpace. Is MySpace still around? Is it still relevant? I don't know. We're here to discuss all topics. New and old. Where music has been, where it's going. Well, folks, it's a special day. We have a special guest in here today. My good friend, a childhood friend of mine, a fellow musician, indeed a collaborator, a client of Trinidad World Recording Studios here, and a guy who's known P2 back before he was ever a professional musician of any kind. I'm talking to myself in the third person again. Stop me, somebody. My good friend Darren Norman is here.
So I've known you since before there was a second P.
Before there was a second
just
P. That's right.
Phil.
It was just Phil. I was just a little Philip Pritchett.
Thanks for having me today, Phil.
Oh,
happy
man.
To be here. Back in the studio.
Back in the studio.
I like the log cabin description now.
The log cabin ski lodge deal is what we go
ski
for here
lodge.
In the B room.
I've got my hot brew cup here.
The feet up. It's kind of cold outside again. We like it when it's cold. That's when it's fun to record.
And, indeed.
Look
rodeo
around.
Rodeo season.
That's right. It's rodeo season here. Stock show going on. Phil Pritchett and the full band playing the stock show. We do it every year, man. So it's just one of those things that makes Fort Worth so great. You were born and raised here in Fort Worth, correct?
I was born actually in Dallas.
Were you really?
Don't let that out.
I didn't know that.
But
keep
I was,
Dallas pretentious, the t-shirt says.
I moved out of there as quick as I could at the age of four, I believe it was, into Fort Worth, raised here.
Darren, raised in Fort Worth, was in a band, Change of Standard, in high school, which still exists. And Change of Standard reunited. Would you say reunited? Y'all try to get together and record every year, and that's what you guys did here last year.
We never break up. The band exists in perpetuity.
That's right.
We only go on hiatus. We had an extended hiatus, which we will never reach again, probably 10 years or so. And then every year, every other year, back in the studio, record a few songs as our schedules allow.
That's right. Well, I think that's great. I tell a lot of people. A lot of people think you got to be some sort of musical guy out there sleeping in his car, hard-nosed musician to come in and record. I'm kind of like, no, we have all kinds. Your band's a good example of a band who does it for fun, has always done it, and still likes to play music, record, and stuff like that.
I think, Phil, what ultimately happened here is we were a collection of guys that just lacked the fortitude.
Lacked the fortitude.
In the way that you did.
If you lack,
gung-ho, strong, full
if you
commitment.
Lack fortitude, this is where you need to come.
This is it.
Well, Darren and I knew each other. We went to, I was being raised in Dallas, Darren in Fort Worth. We met at camp, the great Blue Mountain Ranch.
BMR.
Anyone who knows me knows that I went to camp at Blue Mountain Ranch, Florissant, Colorado. Small family outdoors camp where I went. I was a camper there. I was a counselor there. I met my wife there. Now my kids and my wife, we all go there in the summer and help out. So the camp's a big part of our lives. And Darren was right there from the get-go.
We
were little kids there in the cabin.
We attended in what I'll term the platinum years.
The platinum years. The 80s,
the
man.
80s.
Oh.
Mid-80s, right in there with the tall socks happening. And wind
we
shorts, boxers below the wind shorts time.
Jams. We wore jams.
Indeed.
Me and Darren were known for slacking off on our activities. We'd go out and we'd go to canoeing class. We got the pond there at camp. We'd get a couple of life jackets there at the, and we'd play
gin rummy
out there. You remember that?
And over and we dragged our RC cola in the pond behind us because
to cool
it was chilling
off.
Exactly.
Cool off a little RC.
Reeling the rope to bring it in.
We'd
skip one activity after another activity. They'd be waiting on the tennis courts. Hey, we're Darren and Phil.
I hope the camp.
The game could not be interrupted.
I hope we're not doing the camp any disservice by saying that. But
no.
That's what made the camp so great.
There's a spectrum of camps out there, Phil, now. And you've got some on one end that are very militaristic. And you've got others on the other end.
Sports-driven.
That promote children at play learning their own way.
That's right.
And time for a conversation and friends to be made and adventures to be had. All of your own making.
That's right.
And I chose to go that end rather than when I had visited my brother at another camp, not to be named here on the air.
Right, exactly.
Wherein they march from activity to activity,
right,
clapping and chanting a specific song. And they were awarded or their awards were taken away.
Indeed.
Based upon behavior. And we had none of that.
None of that at our camp. In fact, at our camp, you could show up. I remember the very first time we went there. I was in Cox North, one of the little kids' cabin. I was maybe 11, first year, 10.
Right in that range.
And one of the older kids, this is a huge influence. I mean, a watershed moment in my musical life. Because the older kids were in Beaver Lodge, the old cabin down by the creek, you know.
Indeed.
Those were all the 14, 15-year-olds were.
They were so
and this
old
one kid,
compared
yeah,
to us.
So this one kid, Peter Lee. Remember Peter Lee? He had kind of shaggy hair. And man, he's all the trunks are being delivered. We all flew there, and Peter Lee's sitting by the truck in his sleeveless black T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, there's Peter Lee, man, one of the older kids.
Bandanas and down the leg.
He's sifting through, bandanas up and down the leg, and he's sifting through all the stuff. He's like, where's my guitar, man? Just give me my guitar. And man, all of a sudden, he gets a huge PV amp, and then he just gets this case bearing a Gibson Les Paul.
The light shines in his
eyes.
Oh,
and he goes, finally. And he goes down to the cabin. And all of a sudden, dude.
He's just sat on the
all
porch
of a sudden, I just hear,
for a month and
yeah,
never
I
left.
Just, I just hear Limelight or something. Just, just billowing. And, dude, he had his guitar at camp. And ever since then, music was a huge part of camp. He had
very
the
big
dances.
Large introduction.
Stairway to Heaven was the last song played, the long dance every night. Peter Lee get out his guitar, and then we had guys in our cabin like Electric Alex Whedon.
Electric Al,
who is now the guitar player for Miranda Lambert, was
indeed
also in our cabin. You know, he's going to be on the podcast here in a couple weeks.
Is he?
Looking
oh,
very
great
forward to that.
Have
Electric
to be
Al.
It's been a good few months since I've talked to Al, but he was a happy chappy last I spoke.
Oh, is that right?
Touring. He's going to be playing up here at Billy Bob's very soon.
That's right, with Miranda. That's when he's going to be town, and Whedon's supposedly going to come by and do the podcast. Now,
you know,
Alex,
I think
Alex had
impact
his
for camp. A lot of people stepped away. This is your first opportunity, an extended period of time away from your natural setting.
Right.
And you were introduced to a great deal of new music.
That's
and
right.
We must have hit it in the years when we had the heavy metal folk all occupying Beaver, very into it. Not that it was that heavy, but when we had the Deep Purples coming out. Good, strong introduction to Zeppelin at the time.
Yeah, oh yeah.
This is when the house was rocking down there, and walked away from camp and then requested electric guitar lessons from Alex Whedon.
So I was going to say,
borrowed his electric guitar after that.
Whedon was in our cabin, Alex Whedon, and he was the first guy that brought his guitar to camp.
He did.
What did he have? He had a Les Paul, something expensive.
He had... Lucky Alex had a variety of variety of them, and I think he refused to bring his Les Paul to camp for fear of damage.
Yeah, so he had his guitar, but he'd sit there on the couch.
But
know,
he had a nameless variety, one of the knockoffs at the time that he let me use. That when you lean forward, the pickups fell out.
Right.
Jumbled onto the strings.
But he taught you how to play.
We first started playing. He let me borrow that guitar to go over to his house, and we'd learn a little bit. And he was going through what was on the air at the time.
Who had all the Beatles? 'Cause, I didn't have all the Beatles stuff yet. I kind of did. But somebody had some of that early Beatles stuff.
I had some Beatles as introduced to by my mother.
Uh-huh.
She had some original LPs way back when, Meet the Beatles and Introducing the Beatles.
Right, right, right.
That I played on my record player nonstop when I found out. I discovered them in her closet.
Right.
And they had old, you know, high school signatures on there from friends of hers and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
What were so some of those, I got the introduction to the Beatles that
way. What were some
way.
Of those other
I was into them as well.
Signature camp bands in those years? The Judies, you ran for the Judies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, they just did a big reissue.
Did they?
The Judies. Oh, I got it all in here. All the pretty girls in high school. Now, they were
We used to play Guy on a Punch.
Independent band from
our
Houston.
Set list.
God, we need to do the Judies in the Vault on one of these podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about
fun.
Just great stuff. They were a Texas independent, stripped down, kind of new wave band from Houston. They're very popular.
The local Holy Trinity, I guess you'd say.
No question
versus,
about it.
Versus.
So that was where, man, I got so much out of camp, man. Kids with their own guitars.
Oh, yeah.
The Judy's. I mean, in the cabin, you listened to all the modern 80s stuff. You know, you had The Cure and all, and U2 and The Police and guys cranking. But then a lot of the 70s classic rock
stuff. You know
what?
Started creeping in a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Became some of the electronica early stuff.
Right.
That first year was all guitar driven for me.
Yeah.
Peter Lee didn't come back the next year.
Yeah.
And then you started to have. And people bringing, you know, your Depeche Mode stuff started
right.
creeping in.
It was kind of like, camp's like going to college a little bit. You just get all these people from all different areas.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their music. Everyone had their own, like, little jam box or radio or something on their bunk,
mm-hmm.
cranking their own stuff.
Had to take
That's
turns.
Right.
And then you had to hire, you had to get the right people. It was all volunteer, whoever put the dance together. We blared it out of
right.
our jukeboxes there.
We'd have the Walkman.
Because we had our jam box.
You had to queue up the tape, get it to the right song. So
mm-hmm.
you had the Sony Walkman, waterproof. And so you'd cue it up, and then you'd punch it out. Hey, man, here's Stairway, ready to go. You know, crank it in. Or Journey, you know, or
and there were many mixed
arms.
Masters that were chastised for pulling up the wrong track at the
That's
request
right.
of the older guys.
Indeed.
You pulled up the wrong one, Happy Trails, and it was too early to play Happy Trails by Van Halen. That
That's
was a
right.
huge one at the time.
That
1984
was.
Came out. We were right in the heat of it.
Oh,
Panama.
Oh, man, hell yeah. Hell yeah!
Oh man,
that was
good.
A rock
it was
and
a
roll
nice introduction.
That was a rock and roll ruled the earth.
Oh, it was
early '80s, mid '80s. I think kids
the
who weren't
were all that. They were all fast rocking songs.
Kids who were a little older, a little younger than us, right there. There was that little window in there, 1984, 85, where if you were 11, 12 years old, man, you loved Eddie Van Halen. You loved. If you were a little too young, a little too old, people kind of go, you know, I was into Zeppelin or you know, I was too young for the Van Halen stuff. But that little window, you and me and Alex were right. I mean, it was impossible to miss.
Yeah.
Circus Magazine, Hit Parader, all those magazines we, you know, looked at all the time.
And the right folks came to town, too. They did the tours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They did the tours. I went with Electric Al to see The Firm. Great
the
Jimmy
firm,
Page.
Jimmy Page,
Paul
yeah.
Rogers.
Yeah. Radioactive, bum, bum, bum. Radioactive, bum, bum, bum.
And Alex's dad took us over to that thing, and I'm sure he was blown away. But Jimmy Page pulled out the
bow.
Yeah. Double neck, man. He just did the whole number. You know, swung it around. The
I remember
tip was
one
lighting
year,
up with the early laser at the time.
Now, did y'all go to the fateful year? I believe it was 84, 85, where you had Michael Jackson at Texas Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following night, or the night before, Van Halen 1984, David Lee Roth tour the night before. Did you stay? Did you go to camp late that year because you went to the show?
I did indeed.
See, I did not go to either of those shows.
I
went to camp. All you guys weren't there. Then you all show up the next day with the Eddie Van Halen, you know, the with guitar with the tape on it, T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I stayed a day late. Oh, broke my heart. But a lot of you guys stayed and went to those shows. One of them.
You know what? We all kind of got together somehow, and the separate families, you had to go through the newspaper at the time to get the tickets then.
That's right, yeah.
You went in, you mailed in, you got four tickets and four tickets only.
Yeah.
You had to go through the newspaper system to do it.
Yeah.
So we all stayed, and by that time, we weren't going to delay.
Yeah, yeah.
We were not going to miss.
It was only like a day late, yeah.
He did a thriller going
did you go
on
to,
at
Did
the
you
moment.
Go to Jackson at Texas Stadium that year?
This is the one.
Yeah, the Jackson, the Victory
the
Tour.
The Victory Tour.
Yeah.
This is the one. This is why we were all late to camp.
That's right.
Was the Victory
was Jackson.
Tour. But playing in that, Eddie Van Halen did his...
Played Beat It.
Beat It song.
Because Van Halen was playing Reunion Arena like the next night or the
right.
night, or they'd already played the last night.
Exactly.
They were in town.
So if there were those who stayed for the extra Van Halen show, I didn't hit that one.
Oh, you
I
didn't,
just
you
did
didn't
the Thriller.
Hit, man, you did Thriller.
I'm sorry,
okay.
I misheard you. I just did the Thriller album.
Oh, camp memories.
David Lee Roth was walking around, stealing thunder, walking through the
That's
audience.
That's right.
And exactly.
I got my pencil.
I remember that. And we showed up, and maybe the first day of camp, someone was It was by a swimming pool. Someone had a rock and was pounding on T-shirts that were on the pavement.
Yeah.
Put a hole in Alex's brand new concert T-shirt.
Oh, no.
He was livid.
Oh, poor Electric
Al. He never heard the end of that thing.
Poor Electric Al losing his shirt.
His collection of concert tees.
We look forward to Alex Wheaton, guitar player now. You know him. He had his own solo band. He played guitar for the Texas band Honey Brown for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now he tours with Miranda Lambert. I've seen him on the Grammys and all that kind of fun stuff. Electric Al, Blue Mountain Ranch is out there.
Something
He'll be on the podcast here soon.
Something additionally that came out of that camp experience for me musically was on the very day we showed up, first day at camp, we actually took a plane up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
And
DFW?
Didn't know anybody. Walk in, huge crowd of kids. They're trying to get the plane boarded.
Yeah.
A woman, a camp representative, maybe it was even the...
Evelyn, whatever her name was.
Yeah, was it Evelyn?
Put us on the plane, the old lady. Yeah.
She could have been the tour
person
who puts them together.
Right.
What's the word? A travel agent.
Right.
Anyway, she reaches into the
Remember
crowd.
Remember those?
Draws me as a young 11-year-old, 12-year-old, and reaches into the crowd, back through a couple people, pulls another kid out, and that child was Ty Hoffer, who remained the Change of Standard drummer for the lifetime. That's how Ty and I met. We
is
sat
that right?
on the plane together, and we talked music and Beatles, also a true Beatles fan.
Ty Hoffer.
And we kicked it off from there.
Outstanding.
Never parted ways.
Speaking of Ty Hoffer... drummer for Change of Standard, your band, high school band. We're going to talk about the recent record you guys came in here. I want to get a sense of Darren Norman, a ongoing music enthusiast, a guy who still plays music. We're going to talk a little bit about the project they did here, the fun times we had, and his own experience. Hear about his own experience here at Trinidad World Recording in our next segment. Stay tuned.
Woman makes the world go round and around. Woman makes the world go around, spinning like a halo, giving orders to the planets and the stars, who move on her say-so. Maybe smart to act pretty quick. I never saw money turn that kind of trick, oh yeah. 'Cause woman makes the world go around.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Book Phil Pritchett and the full band, 817-733-5256. Or come record here at Trinidad World Recording. You want the A-room with the Pro Tools and all the vintage gear and guitars? Hey, give us a call. Or you can come in here to the B-room, you know, with Phil himself. I work either rooms, both here, there, all kinds of recording projects. Well, speaking of recording projects here, at Trinidad World Recording.
I'm not sure, Phil, that the Darren A Norman. And B rooms are appropriately named.
Yeah.
I mean, they're different feels, but different one is no
feels.
Lesser than the other in an alphabetical sense.
Well, we've only just recently kind of got the A room really up to speed where it is now with the Pro Tools, got the your individual monitor mixes, got your own little mixer in there, headphone mix kind of deal.
Yes, yes.
Very, very highly specialized. My good friend Larry Dillon, who owns the building and owns the gear back there, has opened that up. And said, man, we need to start bringing guys into the A room here, you know.
Perfect.
On so anyway, whatever budget, whoever. So you guys came in here. That was back when I was, recording in here. You
right.
came in here with the aforementioned Ty Hoffer on drums.
Indeed. Ty Hoffer
Lee
on drums.
Lee Butler. Who is the band? Lee Butler on vocals and acoustic guitar.
That's correct. And Scott Thurman on bass. And Natalia Castro.
On keyboards.
On keyboards.
And you guys.
Now Natalia Henson. On
yes,
keyboards.
I see.
Married name.
So y'all were, y'all played a lot of high school dances. Did y'all play much in high school?
We started up in middle school doing middle school talent shows,
okay.
things like
yeah.
that. And there were members that came and went, and we parted ways with many a singer.
Many a singer, a bass player, guitar player, right.
And keyboardist and what have you.
Right.
And we transformed into high school later on, but things really started taking off when we found Lee Butler, who happened to be the
kind of a theater,
the
a theater
headmaster's
guy.
Son,
yes,
who was
yes.
rebelling against the education.
Oh, didn't he have long
time.
Hair back then?
Wild, long
mad
hair,
at the world,
smoked furiously.
Oh my gosh, philosophical.
Yes, indeed,
he was like Jim Morrison of Country Day or something.
Yes, exactly.
But he didn't go to.
So we thought
he didn't. Did he go to Country Day?
No, he was a Paschal child.
Paschal child.
Paschal child.
Public school kid. You got to watch out for that.
So
type.
We started booking gigs around through our manager at the time, good friend. Chad Herman.
Still your manager to this day.
Still our manager to this day.
I saw him the other day picking up carpool.
Did you?
Yeah.
my what would become.
Run into him around
he
town.
Had the gear. He was DJing, and he was spinning and scratching.
So he had, like, speakers and mics and stuff?
Speakers and a snake and the board, and we all went through that system.
See, a guy like that always has a role in the band. You got gear, you're in.
Absolutely.
You're not bringing anything to the table? I don't care how good you
are.
That's right.
And he brought a lot.
He did. He did.
So we did gigs around. We did, was at the time, Magnolia Station, I think it was called.
What is that? Kind of a teenage club kind of deal?
It was on Magnolia Street.
Okay.
It was just a regular bar over there. Played that. We played.
You were playing.
Now the Aardvark.
You were playing bars?
At the time.
You were playing bars in middle school?
Bars in high school. This is high school.
High school.
High school years.
Yeah. Drinking? Are you guys drinking at these deals?
I'm sure we might have snuck one or two in there. with our wonderful fake photo IDs.
Well, of course,
from
back then,
Village.
Late 80s, a little looser maybe. You could get in if you're 18, right?
Kind Indeed. Of, much looser. You know,
much looser, yeah.
Yeah, they had, all were welcome, and it was at the discernment of the wait staff whether you got served or not. At the
I see.
There was no really
teenage drinking.
The door
teenage drinking, not as frowned upon back in the 80s maybe as now.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
It's a little bit harder now, I think.
A little tougher now to get out there, you know. There were bars.
We played the White Elephant once.
Did you
twice.
Really?
Yeah.
Good change of standard at the Elephant.
Not to mention your typical birthdays and bar mitzvahs.
Ah, yes.
We had a wonderful Hava Nagila, you say it's your birthday, mix.
No, you didn't.
Heretofore unseen and not...
What were some, y'all always wrote your own songs, but what were some of the cover tunes that maybe y'all liked to play that you were known for,
Good Kinks. Kinks were good.
The Kinks?
Kinks were straight.
Like what?
Covered.
No one plays the Kinks, huh?
Do it again.
How does that go?
Do it again, do it again, do it again.
Oh, yeah. Don't you go down, don't you go boom, 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 boom. I don't know if I know that one.
It's back where we started. Here we go round again.
That's the Kinks?
Yeah.
Here we go round again. Golly.
Day after day I get up and I say, come on, let's do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again.
Awesome, dude. Are you sure that's the Kinks?
I'm pretty sure. You think it's somebody else?
I don't know.
Or little Ray Davies?
I know that song, but I don't associate it with the Kinks. Do it again, do it again.
Well, maybe it's like a Nola.
Maybe it's late.
Well,
yeah, I got all the old stuff.
Sure.
What else did you do besides Kinks?
We did that. We did a lot of
Modern
R.E.M.
stuff?
Lee Butler brought in a huge R.E.M.
Nice. See, the great thing about R.E.M.
collection and that we all had when forced to listen to.
Great thing about R.E.M. is just some of that stuff you don't need to know the lyrics. You can just moan and groan, mumble, and just play minor chords.
Well, this is back in the day when it was Driver 8. And,
yeah,
you know.
Did y'all do that?
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite R.E.M. songs.
Superman.
Begin the Begin. No.
Yes, we did.
Did you really?
Now that you mention it, Begin to Begin.
The land of... First song off of Life's Rich Pageant. It's a great song.
That's right. We
what
did
else?
Do that one. See, I can't even remember.
Yeah.
The list was long and hard and
Police?
Arduous to learn.
Police are tough. Police were tough. I was trying to think of some of the 80s.
We
movies.
Did not do the Police. They were hard to match.
They were tough.
They were hard to match.
You,
you wouldn't think so, but they were such fantastic musicians.
You too? Did you do any U2?
We did some U2. You know, the Joshua Tree came out around that time.
With Without You or something.
Yeah, we did the Joshua Tree album, With or Without You, for a slow dance. You know, had to bring it down a little bit.
No Bullet the Blue Sky?
No.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, it was a hard one to match the sound on the guitar.
That's right, the slide.
The Edge had such a big, bold, loud presence. And unless you had the tightest drummer in the world, he played with such delay that Edge did. If you started out with a delay that was in time at the beginning of the song... Our drummer had a tendency to speed up just a wee bit. So by the end of the song, the delay was no longer in sync with where you needed to be.
I know it.
So it all meshed together and got
That can be very difficult. Very difficult.
It could be difficult. He was playing without playing without
So
a
y'all
sync.
Came in to... So y'all made some original records before, written your own songs. How many
did
y'all do in here?
Y'all did
like six songs here? Seven songs?
We put out an album in those years, high school years. We went up to Denton and recorded in Denton with Terry Slimmons, Deaner.
Okay.
And put out, and we sold out of this stuff in high school.
Sold some tapes or y'all CDs?
We had tapes.
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 Analog, baby.
You bet. Flip sides. Side what's and side up.
Oh, hey.
Yeah,
what's
we had a little clever
up?
With the 1-2 name
Dude,
there. So you never knew what side you were on.
That's right. That's got Butler written all over it. Is that his idea?
We
the eccentric singer Lee Butler.
And then we went on hiatus for a number of years.
College?
And there was a college group. Scott Thurman wasn't with us. Little Joey Pollard, may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Played bass with us down there with a group. Right. We became Pinchman Shaggy for a while.
Ooh, okay.
Came
Name
out with
change.
Some very good songs.
Those are some lost years there, maybe.
Yeah, we played down there
a little
at
bit?
The Flamingo Cantina.
Oh, in Austin?
Yeah, in Austin.
I ran into you, and this is going to get into our vault segment. Darren was in school in Austin, University of Texas.
That's correct.
And we crossed paths a little bit down there. You were
not often enough, Phil.
Not often enough. But you were playing on the east side of 35 at the taco place.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
We had the
you and Butler
day open mic.
At, what's that place called?
Paco's Tacos.
Pato's.
Pato's Tacos. There you
Pato's
go.
Pato's Tacos. And I ran into you somewhere. You go, yeah, maybe do kind of a loose jam over there. And I went over there and watched y'all play. I can't remember if I got up and played a song. Maybe.
You could bring in your tambourine and sing a little Hare Krishna song, and it was all acceptable. It was all fine over there.
So what's your take on the studio, your most recent project here? Six songs, Trinidad World Recording. You guys came in here. Gosh, you guys have wives, kids running everywhere. It was crazy.
Scheduling is a beast. I don't know how you do it. Scheduling is a beast. We all have our, you know, workday
lives. Your own lives.
Two doctors, one independent businessman, another guy managing facilities, and I'm an architect myself. So getting it all together, tough.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
Very, very fun, though,
Somehow we managed to schedule about 6 months in advance, and we can pull it off.
That was.
And we were used to going and recording in Austin.
Yeah.
And we decided, you know what? Enough of us have moved up here to Fort Worth again.
Let's do it here.
And
hometown
Phil reached out to Phil, said, man, what do you got? And he said, I've got you. I've got you covered. Just come on in.
Come on in. We'll cut it.
And we're going to make this easy for you. So we were used to doing a quick, jam-packed weekend. Two days. Fit in
done.
Everything that you can.
Everything you can.
Do it all right there.
Right.
So we would do a couple of rehearsals, get in there and feel rushed and leave out parts that we didn't want to, didn't want to leave out, but were forced to and under time constraints. So we came in here to Phil's studio, and Phil said, here's what we'll do. You guys do what you can, and those members that are here still need to come back in
scheduling,
and schedule them in, and we can piece together some of those things on a different basis. You won't feel quite pressed for time.
That's right.
And I don't know how you work with all your clients, but that was really nice.
Well, y'all did come in and slam a couple days. The drums. Got the drums done.
And the vocals done.
You'd come by in an evening and maybe do a few guitar parts.
Right.
So we'd do some keys.
Just embellished with a little
percussion,
which, by the way, I didn't get credit for on the album.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
No, I had nothing to do with that.
Drums and percussion went to Ty, but actually played some shaker in there and some tambourine.
Come on,
Furious
Hoffer.
Tambourine.
Come on, Hoffer. Give credit where credit is due. But, man, it was very enjoyable, and I've had a couple different bands like you guys come in who are – it's always fun because, you know, quite frankly, you guys like yourself – are more fun in a loose way and easier to please than the kid who wants to be the next Pat Green or because they have just huge ideas and expectations. And
I think we have very achievable expectations.
You guys got to come in. Hey,
I
want
to enjoy listening to this driving in my car.
Yeah, right. So I really enjoy it. A lot of people say, man, it must be hard dealing with these guys who are just kind of doing it for fun. I'm like, man, really, fun's the optimum word. That's often. You know, he's come spend 3 or 4 days, record some fun stuff.
This is a chance for us all to get together.
Really,
we don't get to see each other all in one room on a regular basis. So we ham it up, have a good time. Much coffee is imbibed. Much beer is imbibed.
Indeed.
It's a great deal of fun.
Big refrigerator in the kitchen here at Trinidad World Recording, as you have discovered.
Ample space.
Well, man, me and Darren, as we mentioned, crossed paths in Austin a little bit playing music. And then I was a counselor up at camp. In the early 90s, and who's going to be a counselor also is our old friend Darren Norman.
Show up, not having talked about it in advance
Not really talking about it. Darren shows up with a beard, kind of a rainbow-colored Rasta hat, one red Converse, one blue Converse. I'm like, oh, no. Darren, he's gone. And sure enough, you had been traveling the country. You're very into music, very good guitar player. I remember I couldn't believe how good a guitar player he was.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate
it. And, of course, then we find out we have all attended the same Soul Hat shows.
Oh, yes.
For years at the Black Cat Lounge. I probably stood next to you and maybe
infamous.
Yeah, you know, we hadn't seen each other maybe a lot since we were kids.
In a hazy cloud,
a hazy
right next
cloud.
To each other, bouncing.
Oh,
didn't
man.
Know it.
Anybody who knows anything about my formative years in college, early 90s, Soul Hat was a band, a lot of them from Southwestern, Bill Cassis and Kevin McKinney, Brian Walsh, and they started playing every Thursday and Saturday at the Black Cat, the dumpiest dive bar on 6th Street.
A few years older than us, perhaps.
Yeah, a year
maybe
or two older.
Two. Right.
So anyway, they played at the Kappa Sig House on campus a lot, Soul Hat. I just didn't take it very seriously. Everybody's got a band. Oh, what do I care? So did I. Who cares? And I'll never forget, everybody's saying, man, they're playing in Austin. We went down there to see them. I was like, yeah, everybody's, the whole campus, you know, it was only 1,200 people at Southwestern going down there. And I remember standing in front of that stage the first show, the first night, and standing in front of Bill Cass's amp. And he kind of had a Fender Stratocaster.
He did.
Had a silver face amp or something. And, dude, I remember his tone.
It's like they're like a twin reverb or
something. How loud it was. And just it sounded like Stevie Ray Vaughan. I couldn't believe it. I mean, my only experience with live music from people my age to that point had been, you know, a PV Bandit amp. And just it sounded kind of like...
Maybe a crate here and there, a little digital,
It was just kind of, you know, we're just playing The Cure or something.
Sure.
Dude, these guys were playing blues-based,
they were
funky rock and roll. And, man, what music it was.
Oh, it was beautiful.
And then they just become a huge band in Austin, huge draw. You couldn't even get in there. Dollar Pabst Blue Ribbons, free hot dogs was a big draw. And it was maybe one or two, three, four, or five $2 bucks.
$2 cover.
And it just was slam packed. You want to talk about a place you could get a cold beer and a hot dog and just watch
every Thursday and Saturday just, and they was played, it Tuesday and Saturday.
Yeah, it was Tuesday and Saturday or Thursday and Saturday, I can't remember. Might have been Tuesday.
Either way, both nights were jam packed. And it was them, and then a little bit later on, Little Sister opened up.
Yeah, that's right. Started playing.
Became the opening act. And we were friends with Sean Phillips of Little Sister.
Right.
From their band here, Trio of One, played at TCU around at the same time. We were all in high school. So he put us on the list. So I forewent that $2 cover for, you know, a good year and a half.
Well, let's talk more about – we're going to talk about the great band, Austin band, Soul Hat, that all you fans out there need to check out. They've just reissued their long-lost analog two-track recording of Live at the Black Cat Lounge, man. A moment of time captured. And I had the cassette tape. They've been out of print for 20 years. I don't know, something like that. And they've recently redone the CD. We're going to look at the reissue, brand new reissue of Soul Hat Live at the Black Cat Lounge in the vault when we come back.
Is easy. I'll pick up your trash, mama. Not a good job driving that truck. You gotta start from the bottom and work your way up. I'm a garbage man, I don't really mind, cause it's a good job and it takes all my time. My hands are hard and I don't need a teacher. I'm making my living moving up your street.
Along the alleys in the street. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Come record. All souls who love music, come to Trinidad World Recording. 817-733-5256. Ask about recording here at Trinidad. In the big room, the small room, we got it all. All the gear you could ever need. Or just book the band. We'll come to your house and play in your backyard. Just tell us where to be. We'll work something out for you. My good old friend, Darren Norman, lifelong friend, is here.
All right.
Change of standard.
That has a future to it.
Musician. He's been here. He and his old high school band came and recorded here. Sort of a family reunion kind of deal at the studio. We knew each other at camp, our formative years, listening to rock and roll. And, man, a huge part. When I was in college, I was at Southwestern. Darren at the University of Texas, we were going to those Soul Hat gigs. Live at the Black Cat Lounge.
Parallel musical journey that
it was.
People
That's
do
right.
get to share all together.
Well, a lot of fans ask me.
Local scene to college scene to post-college
Absolutely.
Scene.
Absolutely. Fans ask me a lot who my influences are. You're always thinking, Zeppelin, Beatles and stuff. If I really think about it, and I'm really very honest, the biggest influences on me when I really got serious about music was in college and looking at guys that I knew, that local regional guys had the most impact on me. Yeah, it's always, okay, Led Zeppelin, whatever. I mean, that's like saying Beethoven. But here was Soul Hat, guys who had gone to my college, and, man, they just had these great, goofy songs. Then they would surprise you with some real great sentimental songs.
But they're very poignant songwriting.
Poignant songwriting, Kevin McKinney, and, man, just playing in a club and just blowing people's heads off, man. And other guys around that time in Austin, like David Garza, Twang Twang Shakaboom.
Oh, yes.
I was a huge fan
of those guys.
People know my song Maria very well, who listen to the podcast. Basically, man, go back and find David Garza. I just ripped that guy off. To an extent. I was just writing that you know, that Latin groovy thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you run it through my band and everything, it comes out something totally different. But the starting point were those local regional guys, you know. Mm-hmm. And even Jack Ingram had come and played a show at the house, you know, when we were having a dance, you know.
Reissued a collection of some, including some of those old songs. I think it's called
Strange Mess of Flowers. But man,
so he reissued some of those things that were on a summer song cassette and all that stuff.
Right.
And those influences did you have? I mean, this is the informative years. I think it lays out a pattern in your brain somehow that you stick with.
Right.
And I came from the local guys here. It was, you know, Edie Brickell and New Bohemians.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you had Fever in the Funk
House.
And I was going right off of Fever in the Funk House and into Austin, bam, you know, insert Soul Hat, and they just picked up where they left off.
I remember seeing Fever play at the Plaid Pig over here, across the street from, it's, I don't know what bar it is now, across the street from TCU.
Oh, I don't know.
It was called the Plaid Pig, right next to the old theater.
Right
there, by the record stop. But, and man, those Austin bands, it kind of became a cliche later. I would say a band like Los Lonely Boys are the maybe an example of just the Austin sound, totally slicked up and commercialized, just that funky thing. But man, early 90s, Little Sister, and man, the Kings were, in my view, were just Soul Hat, man. Had that just funky, fun, very jammy. They just play for hours. They play 5-hour shows or something there at the Black Cat.
Fine
Lynch.
Mix going on at the time. You also had Poi Dog Pondering.
Yeah. Oh, great, there. Great artistic
Retarded
band.
Retarded Elf going on.
Yep.
And the Gingerbread Men.
And also the early Bob Schneider bands.
Yeah.
Joe Rocket, Ugly Americans were all
named
all
after
around.
Fred Flintstone's bowling partner.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Joe Rocket. Realize that.
Where you pull your names from? Right.
There you go, man. And also you had Ian Moore kind of coming out.
Right.
Now, he was a little
early
more on. Stevie Ray Vaughan type, slicked up dude. A little bit.
This
but,
time period
you know.
Was also right around Stevie Ray Vaughan's death.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he died. Yeah,
overlapping
that's right.
year.
That's right.
And
he was
there
gone.
Was a lot of buzz around town. It was who's going to step up?
Who's
going to fill
kind
it
the
in?
The new blues.
The Archangels going on then too.
That's right.
And Doyle Bramall the second.
So what strikes you? You own the old Black Cat tape. You were at the shows.
What they issued 500. I listened to mine so much I wore out the felt.
I remember
on the cassette, and I could not listen to it anymore.
I remember you showing up at camp. You had a lot of Soul Hat bootlegs from shows. Where'd you get all those? I was so jealous.
I had good buddies that were friends with the sound man there. My buddies Raul and Joel toured around the country with Soul Hat. Road trip with them. And they recorded shows left and right. And I was able to pick up a few there from the Liberty Lunch days.
Yeah, that's right.
When they had like a New Year's at Liberty Lunch.
Yeah.
With Soul Hat. Just, they blew us away.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
this is when
yeah.
they had John, the saxophone guy, come in and they would do these extended jams.
Yeah.
But,
the big guy, Blondell? Is it John Blondell?
John Blondell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Trumpet, trombone solo on
John Blondell was the trombone guy.
Yeah,
he'd get up and play, but they had another sax player,
bearded
John.
Okay.
I can't recall his last name. But they were, this cassette caught them early on. They grew in, they got a little bit more jammy on later on.
A little heavier too, a little later.
A little heavier. Kevin switched from acoustic to his Telecaster full time.
Yeah, lead singer McKinney played acoustic in these days all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
and
much.
They had, we were talking about it before, the acoustic and the electric mix on this album brought something together for me that I've tried to maintain in our recording to this day.
Some people will know Soul Hat's major label debut. What was it called? Too Gone to Be Good? No, Good to Be Gone.
Good to Be Gone.
Which, you know, as all bands do, they started locally. Soul Hat built a local following, were huge, jammy, vibey, loose, funny, and cool. They sign a record deal with Elektra, and they make a record produced by Nick DiDia, who did like Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and stuff. And so their first major label debut had that kind of sound to it. I mean, they're very electric. Very tight, very compressed.
Right.
The great Bone Crusher was on there. We all love Bone Crusher. But really, largely, I think in retrospect and at the time, there was a big upheaval, man. People were like, dude, this sounds like Soundgarden or something. It doesn't sound like the old, fun, Grateful Dead-y Soul Hat kind of thing.
They lost a little...
Would you say that's fair to say? I don't know.
Perhaps when they did that, but I do appreciate that album greatly because it was Kevin Unleashed on Electric, who I found his stylings to be a bit more free and creative than what Billy did.
Yeah.
Not to detract from Billy's playing, he was hard, straight core, had the blues, nice bends, going on, you know, and he carried a great deal of those songs and had a good feel for the music and how upbeat it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But then Kevin would come in and just kind of create this color, this tone. Take you in a place that you weren't expecting.
That's right.
Get into these, you know, diminished chords. He always threw something in there and took it into a new key. It was great.
I just remember standing there at those Black Cat shows early on. And one night when they were starting to get pretty big, it was pretty packed in there. McKinney on acoustic just play. And, man, just they're playing Skinny Dippin', Garbage Man, all those great songs, Over Easy. And I remember just sitting there with my patch blue ribbon and my hot dog, just, wow, you know, just getting my head ripped off. And I remember looking up, and there was the Black Cat. There's just a big hole in the ceiling, like into the attic. And I looked up there, and there was
people up there.
Well, there were two raccoons looking down.
Really?
There was just two raccoons looking down. And everybody starts pointing up, like, hey, yeah. There's just two raccoons looking up there. I'm just like, it's like 2 a.m. I'm like, man, it's one of those things you wake up the next morning and you're like, hey, did I look up and there's just two raccoons up there? Like, yeah,
this
that's
is a place that couldn't have been 30 feet wide.
Oh yeah.
And there were bleacher stands running up the back wall and on the side walls a bit. And you could sit right
and
by.
And a courtyard
right
in the back behind the stage.
Exactly.
Where all sorts of unspeakable things were going on.
Oh, yeah, crazy stuff.
Gosh.
We always had a good time there with Daryl Phillips, the bass player.
Little Sister. Yeah, yeah.
We'd have our little warm-up session in the back there with Daryl and come out and appreciate the show.
Absolutely, man.
Man, it's hard. You have to listen to this album and understand the vibe that was going on.
I wonder if people can get it. Do you think the music's strong enough for somebody who's never heard of Soul Hat, who maybe comes to Phil Pritchard's show, just can you pick up Live at the Black Cat Lounge and go, man, I love that stuff. I wonder. I don't know.
I think it carries it. We're biased because we have a history over there.
Oh, there's no question. You know.
But, yeah, I think it's a snippet of an era there in Austin that needs to be remembered and ought to be revisited.
Oh, no question about
it. Ought to be revisited.
Well, I was thrilled with the reissue of this because I was like you. I had the tape, the cassette Live at the Black Cat. They've included more songs on there on this reissue.
Five
Although removed
songs,
Old Man Ken.
Old Man Ken,
well,
yes,
Old
gone.
Man Ken.
One of my favorites.
That was the only one. Me too, man. Old Man Ken, the kind of guy looking at this and seeing that. Chink-a-chink-a-chink.
It's all about so getting old man caught on
Ken,
the highway.
Is Old Man Ken just lost forever?
Cops come in and search his car.
That's right, dude.
One.
Going a little too slow
I
in the fast
Jesus,
lane.
You got to help me through this one. You got to help me through this one.
Dude, the whole sound of
this
early sound, with Soul Hat lost a little bit, for better or worse, I'm just pointing out it's lost. This whole thing, this Live of the Black Cat, man, it just floated along on McKinney's acoustic guitar and Billy Strat, dude, just drove it, man. When you get into the later stuff and it's two rectified, overdriven guitars just jamming the whole time, which is great in its own right, it does lose some of the uniqueness, I think, that made us all fall in love with Soul Hat.
A lot of Kevin's ZZ Top and Zappa influence started really kicking in.
Yeah, no doubt.
And which has got its place.
No question.
But this was lighter. This was really
it's a little
just
lighter.
Kind of bouncing fair. You know, listen to it. I still bounce in my car. Just
there's
knowing
no
what's
question.
Going on.
I loved his lyrics. It
he
was
has
just
a great feel for his acoustic playing, for just, you know, keeping it as a rhythm instrument.
Right.
He really is in touch with Ian Bailey, who's a drummer on this one, versus
Frosty Smith
later on,
right,
who has more rhythm in his little pinky than, you know, I have in my entire body. That guy's amazing.
He is incredible.
But their interplay between the two, the guitarists, the good feel, some color added in by Kevin and his acoustic when they slow down, they do a little interlude and pick it back up.
Yeah.
Billy wails in. God, it's just pretty unbelievable.
Two guitar attack. The great Brian Walsh on bass, great bass player, just always in the pocket, you know.
Always in the pocket.
And, man, I love the inclusion of Skinny Dippin'. I was disappointed Skinny Dippin' wasn't on the first one. So, man, that's the first time I heard Skinny Dippin' in 20 years. I just threw in the CD.
A long time.
Skinny Dippin', don't be shy. Take your clothes off behind the tree. Get in the water with me. It's just got those great Billy Strat licks in there and McKinney. Just laughing through the lyrics. God, it was just wonderful, man.
He had fun. I miss songs like Over Easy, which is probably the best analogy song between eggs and dating women that I've ever heard.
My baby likes me. Sunny side up.
And also left on there was Trippin' by Myself.
Yeah.
Great song.
Yep.
Wookie Puttin' Up.
Wookin' Pinub was not on there.
Wookin' Pinub was not on there.
That was way back.
That was a strange era.
That was.
You know what unearthed on here for me that I hadn't heard for
What's
a long
that?
Time was Long Time. Long time no see. Surprise.
Yeah.
To hear it again.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's got a great little riff to it.
Man, for us guys who was back there in the 90s, drinking that Pabst Blue Ribbon, eating free hot dogs, it really is. And that's the great thing about music. You don't see a movie or read a book, and it doesn't just take you back to some place. You just remember you read it. You remember you saw it. You don't know where. You listen to this record, man. It washes over you, and you're like, holy cow.
It's a true time machine.
It really is. And that's why we love music in general. And so it was very refreshing to revisit it. Bob Schneider did the cover art I saw.
Did he?
Yes, that's what it said on the inside.
Is that his font?
I don't know. Yeah, he came up with his own font.
That's probably a hard to come by picture there with the soul hat and black cat.
Black
in the
cat
background.
Lounge, yeah.
Something I was going to say about the songwriting here,
yeah.
Which a lot of people said they were real jam band in some ways, mistakenly so.
I think so too.
What they had was a very strong and uncanny ability to use music as the punctuation for a song.
That's right.
Versus having the catch, the lyric, the
I think
the Britney
that's
Spears
true.
Hit
yeah,
you one
yeah,
more time,
right.
And that's it, and it goes into something that you can't remember after that. Kevin had a sentiment, came across, and then the music carried forward was the punch.
Right.
And so you just fell back into yourself after he said everything and danced to that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to you.
I love
the music,
their...
The theme, the riff was the catch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They did, man. They wouldn't go with a song unless it had a good catchy guitar riff or something. Their
like
first
Garbage Man. The bound after bound and bound and bound.
Love it.
That's the catch.
It's got a great hook, man. All of it. Great hooky guitar parts, fun lyrics. Their first CD studio record was Out the Box, which you can find out there. Out the Box. But man, I always thought Out the Box, all that had great songs and everything on there, and I listened to it forever.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a studio record. It just doesn't have what the Black Cat recording had, just the live, that sense of chaos, that sense of the space. So check it out, live at the Black Cat Lounge. Soul Hat. And if you digest that and you want a little more, go check out the Box, full of great stuff. Still got Kevin McKinney on acoustic, Billy on the Strat rolling along. And then you can get into Good to Be Gone, which is the full-blown Bone Crusher.
And if you're nice to me, I can get you a copy of the Too Gone to Be,
Good. Oh, I've already got it. Way ahead of you.
Go, you've got
it. Yeah, Goldmine. That's a great song.
Not issued anywhere. Just handed out as a demo.
That's right.
At the record studio.
That's right.
In-store
performances. So fans out there, go Soul Hat. One word, SOULHAT. Soul Hat. Check out some Soul Hat, man. It might be for you, especially that Black Cat Lounge stuff. Well, our guest has been Darren Norman, my old friend, lifelong friend. Thanks for coming in today, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on.
You
Talking
bet,
about
man.
One of the bands I love and the albums that I reminisce about frequently.
Absolutely, man. Friends and coming in here to record with the guys.
Absolutely. We'll be back
guest.
In. We're getting
yeah,
our schedule together.
Get your schedule together. We'll come back here and make a record. Maybe we'll hit the A room up this time.
Oh, my.
Huh? Personalized headphone mixes.
I got to prepare.
Every little mistake will be accentuated. With, HD technology back there. Well, Darren Norman has been here. Call me, 817-733-5256. Come record here at Trinidad World Recording. Of course, you can go to P2 Tunes, download any one of my albums for $4, or just buy the drop card. I mail it to you. You go to the website on the back of the card. You download all the albums for just $20. So easy. Of course, you can always book the band. Call that number or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Let us know where we can come play a show for you. For Darren Norman, I am Phil Pritchett. This is P2, signing off on this edition of the podcast. We'll see you next week. Take care.